Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we hear good news preached from Jesus himself. Good news that you are blessed. Now you may come to worship today feeling incredibly blessed for many reasons. You could name those blessings one after another. Some translations have Jesus saying, "You are happy." Happy seems like a fleeting emotion, does it not? And yet this is not about an emotion or a feeling that Jesus is proclaiming to you today. You are blessed, you are happy, not because of anything you have done or have achieved in your lifetime. You are blessed and you are happy, not because you have earned something. You have been blessed and given this promise of happiness in the very gift of Jesus' own self for you. Well, we have heard a powerful sermon proclaimed today. So really, this is a sermon about a sermon. So aren't you lucky coming to worship today in two sermons? Now, if I were perhaps especially generous as a preacher, I might just sit down right now and say an amen to what Jesus has said. Some of you are thinking, that would be awesome. I actually have a friend whose pastor made that bold decision. She was serving on the church council at the time, and it was a new pastor that they had called, and everyone was anxious to hear him preach for the first time. She, as a leader in the congregation, was especially excited. She'd heard good things about him. She settled into her pew that Sunday, and it was time for the sermon, and the gospel was read, and then the pastor took the pulpit. He said it had been a big week for him. He had been, of course, moving into a new community. He had a lot of boxes to unpack. He was settling in his family, his household, also his office. He had all kinds of meetings and obligations that he hadn't planned on. So this week, he didn't have time to write a sermon. So he said, "I think I'm just going to sit down and let Jesus' words just, you know, speak to you today." And he sat down. My friend, serving on the church council, actually the president of the church council at the time, had a slight panic attack in the pew. "What have we done?" she thought. "What is this pastor doing? He didn't have time to write a sermon? What an underachiever." What felt like an eternity to her must not have been all that long, and yet there was a long time of silence. Finally, the pastor got back up and went into the pulpit and said, "Amen." But then he went back and said, "Sometimes excuses just don't cut it, now do they?" He went on to preach a sermon about how important it is for us to live out the amen of a sermon. How it is that we can just sit down and let Jesus' words be that, or we can have our whole lives be the yes, it shall be so, the amen of the good news of Jesus Christ. My friend says she will never forget that sermon. I would imagine that those who gathered on the hillside to listen to Jesus preach will never forget that sermon. In fact, it must be very unforgettable in that Matthew takes time to write down the words that Jesus proclaims. We know Jesus had been preaching and teaching for a while now. In fact, if we back up a few verses into chapter 4, we fill in the gap between Jesus being tempted in the wilderness to this scene on a mountainside. Here we learn that Jesus has been moving throughout the region, preaching and teaching and healing. In fact, Matthew lifts up the fact that his fame was spreading. He was so famous that word of mouth meant that many people came from all over seeking to be healed. Matthew names them as those who were suffering from illnesses and sickness and pain, those who had been plagued by disease, those who were experiencing epilepsy or were experiencing demons of some sort. And it's even lifted up that paralytics came to him hoping to walk again and have use of their limbs. Matthew wants to set that scene to realize that all who were coming to hear Jesus had either heard about him by word of mouth or had experienced him personally, offering them healing and new life. Imagine that scene for a moment here in this place. Imagine for a moment how many people come to Rochester seeking healing. We have a world-renowned medical facility here. People come from all over the world to seek that kind of healing. Imagine if you heard that there was a man who was going on the elevator in the Gonda building or the Mayo building, and he was getting off floor after floor, going into waiting rooms and healing everyone awaiting some kind of treatment or help. Floor after floor of healings, moving over to Methodist Hospital, to the Olmsted Medical Center, healing upon healing. You can bet his fame would spread. If he came here, why, there would be a huge packed house of people who wanted to hear this preacher and healer. That was the mix on the hillside that day. People who had actually been healed by him, those who had heard about him and wondered if there was a word for them, and those who had experienced his healing firsthand. A massive crowd. And Jesus proclaims what was likely an unexpected word. Jesus says to them, "I want to give you a vision today. I want to explain to you and promise you a place where there is no more suffering, there is no more disease, there is no more pain. I want to give you this place. In fact, this is the news I offer. This place is yours." Imagine if you had come filled with disease, suffering in any way, and the first word you hear is that yours is a place of wholeness because of your encounter with Jesus. His very word itself is healing enough in that moment. Jesus offers a glimpse of that kingdom everywhere he goes in his ministry. First, the good news. Then, for some, healing follows. For others, healing perhaps later or in a life to come. We are not that different from the people who gathered on the hillside that day. We come to this place carrying our own burdens. Some of us are crying out to Jesus in our prayers today, "Oh, just please make this illness or these pains go away. Heal us already." If not for ourselves, perhaps it is for a loved one. Bring them a cure. Take away their sickness. We may hear Jesus' words, "Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." And maybe it falls a little flat for us because we want to see evidence of that right here and now. We want that healing to happen in this moment, in this time, not in a time to come, here. But Jesus says, "This is here among you. For in my word is a fullness of life that even with healed limbs and aches and pains gone is yours, regardless of that experience you have." The promise is stronger than the actual healing event. The promise sustains us even in the midst of the reality of suffering and death. The promise is what gives us the fullness of life. In 2016, a book was released called When Breath Becomes Air. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for quite some time. It is written by a doctor, a neurosurgeon. His name is Dr. Paul Kalanithi. He chronicles in this book his experience with stage 4 metastatic lung cancer. In it, he talks about his experience of life and also the knowledge of death. He writes this: "Before my cancer was diagnosed, I knew that someday I would die, but I didn't know when. After the diagnosis, I knew that someday I would die, but I didn't know when. But now I knew it acutely. The problem wasn't really a scientific one. The fact of death is simply unsettling. Yet, there is no other way to live. Dr. Kalanithi has a point. Death will always be with us. It is a part of life itself. There is no escape from this. We have a finite timeline. And yet, we live in this life knowing that reality of death is near. It can be a threat. It can be, in some ways, simple truth. I mean, we only have to turn on the news to realize how close death is at hand. To think of those who are suffering in the middle of China with a terrible virus, thousands of people infected, we may be afraid, wonder what this means for the future. And death can be near to us in a variety of ways. I'm not sure if you have heard the sad, sad news, but apparently Mr. Peanut has died. Not sure if you have heard this. I hope it's not a terrible shock to anyone. You see, I guess there's a commercial that's come out on behalf of the Planters Company. It depicts Mr. Peanut plummeting to his death. Apparently, during the third quarter of the Super Bowl, there will be a funeral. You know, if you think about it, he's really been just a shell of a man. People wonder, too, will it be an open shell or a closed shell funeral? And there's been speculation about a eulogy. I mean, will there be some fun thoughts shared or perhaps just a lighthearted roast? You see, we can laugh at death on some level. We know that death is among us always, indeed, and sometimes it comes very close to us. And yet, when we hold to the promise, when we have a God who has defeated death itself, we know that the promise, that the hope we have in Christ is stronger. And it gives us the strength to live. At the end of this particular book is an epilogue. You see, the book was released after Dr. Kalanithi died. And so in the epilogue, his widow shares this about her experience of mourning and grief. She says, "I expected to feel only empty and heartbroken after Paul died. It never occurred to me that you could love someone the same way after he was gone, that I would continue to feel such love and gratitude alongside the terrible sorrow, the grief so heavy that at times I shiver and moan under the weight of it. Paul is gone, and I miss him acutely nearly every moment. But I somehow feel I'm still taking part in the life we created together." Life continues. Life goes on even after death. It is different, yes, but life continues to persevere. And as people of faith, we live in this life with the promise that Jesus is with us. In fact, we understand that in our baptisms, we are baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. In fact, we carry Jesus' very life. We carry that kingdom within us as baptized children of God. It's why Jesus ends this sermon by saying, "You are salt for the earth. You are light for the world. Because you carry me within you, you carry a vision of a kingdom yet to be, and that kingdom is yours. Share that good news with others. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." May we do so. Live this life, even in the face of suffering and death, which will always be with us. May we live boldly, courageously in this life, embarking on life that is led by the light of Jesus, who has come to give his all for us so that we may continue to see and embrace the secret of blessedness, which is hope. Amen.